Once again, our scripture reading tonight will be taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 24. That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 24, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed on the third day to be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.
Good to be with you again tonight. We hope, as always, that everyone had a good, pleasant afternoon. We are continuing, as it was announced, to preach on the subject of the prerequisites of true discipleship. We just heard the passage read where we are taking our text, Matthew chapter 16 at verse 24, specifically, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And so there are three things there that we must do, three prerequisites that are an absolute must if we are to be true disciples of Christ. And so this morning we talked about the first two. Jesus calls us to lay something down. That is, we must be willing to deny ourselves. And that has to do with having a determination to always put God first, to put God before ourselves, to say no to self and yes to God. And so we pray and we hope and trust that all of us will be willing to do that, that we will be willing to deny ourselves. And then the second one that we talked about, Jesus called on us to lift something up. That is, we must take up our cross. We must make the decision that we will suffer for Christ if that is what is needed. If we are called on to sacrifice, then that's what we'll do. We'll not let anything interfere with our relationship with God. So we make again a decision. We choose that we will take up our cross. We will suffer for Jesus if we must. But now, the third thing, and I said this morning that this one is a little more lengthy and we really won't have the time to do justice to it, but Jesus calls on us to live something out. That is, we must follow Jesus. And the idea of following Jesus there really has to do with a way of living. When we think about taking up our cross, that is dealing with a specific thing that we must do. But following Jesus, that is just the way we are to live. In fact, the Greek word for follow there has to do with being on the same way or accompanying Jesus. And so we go where Jesus goes. We're walking in the same direction as he walked. We are willing to be companions with him in life. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, that's not only dealing with true discipleship, that's what we call Christianity. That's what being a Christian is all about, following Jesus. In John chapter 12 and at verse 26, Jesus said, If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Now remember, this is a prerequisite. This is not an option. It's not like we can or we should or we could. We must follow Jesus. You're not a real disciple of Christ unless you are doing that. You're not really a Christian. You might be a child of God, but you're not a Christian if you're not actually, literally following Jesus. We have to be companions with him in life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Why? Because we're on the same path with him. Again, that's Christianity. Peter said, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow his steps. Is that how you're living your life, following the steps of Jesus? Now, I know in this particular context, Peter really is dealing specifically with the idea of suffering. So that would fall into our second point this morning, taking up our cross. But the fact of the matter is, this really involves more than just suffering. It would involve every walk, every area of our life. We should look to Jesus as an example and strive to follow him. In 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 6, it says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way as or in which he walked. And so following Christ, that's the third prerequisite. If you really want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to do those three things. But we have to do all of those things. We can't just deny ourselves or take up our cross. We have to do those things. But then through life, we have to follow Jesus. Every day and every way, that's what being a disciple of Christ is really all about. Now, let me make just a few observations about that tonight. Number one, following Jesus is our best option. Isn't that wonderful? Like, this again is a prerequisite. It is a command. It's what we have to do. It's good to know that this is our best option. Like, can you think, when so far as living is concerned, can you think of a better way to live than following Jesus? You can decide to follow yourself if you want to, but that'll get you nowhere quick. You remember in Jeremiah 10 to verse 23, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. That's not the best course to follow. The best course, the best option is to follow Jesus. You can decide if you want to, well, you'll just follow man. There's a lot of people who do that. Particularly in the religious world, people are following men, those who are supposed to be great theologians and evangelists and so on. People follow them all the time. You can do that if you want to, but that will take you down the pathway to peril. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 15 at verse 14, let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. That to me doesn't sound like a very good option. You can decide that you're going to follow earthly riches and rewards if you want to do that. But that will just lead you down the direction of dissatisfaction. You remember Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5 at verse 10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Those aren't very good paths to follow. The best option you have tonight is to make up in your mind that you are going to follow Jesus. He's the greatest leader you could possibly have. He'll lead you down the road of righteousness and the highway of heaven. If you follow Jesus, you'll not only have fellowship with God right now, but you'll be in glory forever and ever. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is the only person who can take you to that place. Jesus is not only our best option when it comes to heaven, he's our only option. In John chapter 14, you remember at verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. Not one of the many ways. Jesus said, I am the way. Peter, on another occasion, said that it's only in the name of Jesus that we can be saved. We cannot be saved, he said, in any other name. You want to go to heaven? You have to follow Jesus. Fortunately for you and me, that's our best option. We'll be blessed beyond measure if we're willing to do that. Following Jesus is indeed our best option. But not only that, following Jesus involves a specific path. And so as we think about this, when you follow Jesus, there's only one place to turn to figure out just how is it that I follow Christ? What is that way? What is the path that I need to follow? And, of course, the place you go to get that is the Bible. It's the doctrine of Christ. To follow Jesus is to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And let's talk just a little bit about that. I don't like what I'm seeing coming up. It doesn't seem like it's what I want here. But it involves, first of all, obeying the gospel and staying on course. Something went astray with my PowerPoint there. I had some other things that I want to talk about. But let's just talk about this. The very first thing, obeying the gospel. That's a part of the doctrine of Christ. You remember in 1 John chapter 1, of course, just one chapter in 2 John, that is, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. The doctrine of Christ is the gospel of Christ. I've said to you many times before, it's all referring to the same thing. It's all the teachings of the New Testament, sometimes referred to as the Word, sometimes the Word of Truth, sometimes just referred to as the faith, sometimes the gospel, sometimes the doctrine of Christ. It's all the same thing. It's the one path you need to follow. It's the path of Christ. The first century church, remember, it said that they continue in the apostles' doctrine. If you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, that is what you must do. You have to stay on course. It begins by obeying the gospel, repenting of your sins and being baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. But then you have to continue and stay on course. You have to continue to be faithful to Jesus Christ by living according to the Word of God as found in the New Testament. And the moment you stop doing that, you stop being a disciple of Christ. The moment you stop doing that, the moment you stop abiding in the doctrine of Christ, you stop being a Christian. You heard me say earlier that maybe you might be a child of God, but not a Christian. There are a lot of people who think, well, that's impossible. If you're a child of God, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. No, that's not quite true. Like you understand, you have to be a child of God to be a Christian, but not all children of God are Christians. What do we say a Christian was earlier? Following in the steps of Jesus. Not all children of God do that. We can't be sure that we're all doing that here tonight. That's why we're preaching a sermon like that, reminding us that we have to not only obey the gospel from the standpoint of repenting and being baptized, but then we have to stay on course. We have to remain faithful. Faithful unto death. Only then, Jesus said, we'll receive a crown of righteousness. And that's the path that leads to heaven. And let me just say that when it comes down, and I don't have time here to really elaborate on these things, but this is true not only with regard to Christians, but even churches. You see, denominationalism is filled with people who have gotten off course. And I say that lovingly, because the fact of the matter is, denominationalism itself is to get off course. Denominational churches have gotten off course. The moment they stopped abiding in the doctrine of Christ and doing the things, even those things that caused them to be denominational in the first place, they stopped being Christians, those involved in that. And again, this is a sermon within itself, but let's just quickly look at a few things just in passing. Sometime we'll elaborate further. Denominational churches are off course. To be on course, a church, of course, has to be a church that was established at the right time, the right place, and by the right person, have the right founder, that is Christ. Churches of Christ can say that. The church of Christ is the church that was established in Acts, the second chapter. Someone says, where's your creed and where did you have your beginning? Where do I go to find where the church of Christ began? There are those who would point people to Alexander Campbell, but the church of Christ existed long before he ever was even thought of. You want to find out where we get our beginning? Open up your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and you'll see when the church of Christ began. And any church that was established at a different time or a different place or by a different person is off course. And again, we don't have time to look at it in great detail, but here are some of the most popular denominational churches. And they all started, you can observe, at the wrong time, the wrong place, by the wrong individuals. They even wear the wrong name. We don't have to elaborate upon that very much, but there is something in a name. The church in the New Testament wore the name of Christ. Why? Because, as I said, as Peter said, there's salvation and no other name. Why, pray tell, would you want to be called by a name other than Jesus? Other than Christ. Name does matter. We sometime would elaborate on that more. But just notice again, the mainstream denominations of our time, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, Methodist Church, all of these very popular denominations, but they're all off course. And again, I'm not trying to be mean or unloving. It's the very opposite. We want to free people from the shackles of denominationalism. You can be a non-denominational Christian just by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and then joining yourself to a local congregation that is observing the pattern of the New Testament where the doctrine of Christ can be found. And the fact of the matter is that's the only path that will lead you to heaven after a while. Denominational churches are off course, but that's not all. Denominational doctrines are off course. You want to know what is wrong with denominationalism? Well, these are the things that are wrong with denominationalism. First of all, they all began at the wrong time, in the wrong place, by the wrong people. But not only that, they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Again, we don't have time to elaborate, so just quickly, once saved, always saved. That's a familiar denominational doctrine, but what does the doctrine of Christ say? Does the doctrine of Christ say that once you're saved, there's no way that you can ever apostatize, that you can never lose your salvation? That's what most people in the denominational realm believe. It's called Calvinism. But Paul said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That's the doctrine of Christ. And we could look at all kind of doctrines. The idea of inheriting Adam's sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. The baptism doesn't save, we're told, in denominational churches. The Bible says baptism does now save us. I don't have enough room on the screen to give all of the examples we can. But the point of it is this. Denominational churches have gotten off course. Not only in how they started and how they developed, but also in the doctrines that they teach. Not only that, but denominational practices are off course. Their practices cannot be found in the New Testament. Some of them can, but a lot of things that they do are outside of the doctrine of Christ. Remember, we have to stay on the right path. That one path is the doctrine of Christ. When churches do things that you don't read about in the Bible, then they're off course. They've gotten off track. Women preachers. In 1 Timothy 2 at verse 12, Paul said, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. There's no way you can reconcile those things. The only way that people get around that is to say, well, you know, Paul, he was just influenced by his culture. Some have even said he was a male chauvinist. No, Paul was an inspired apostle. And whatever he commanded, whatever he wrote, remember, he was speaking in the stead of Christ. His commands were the commands of Christ. And so to abide in the doctrine of Christ, then, a church must honor this inspired teaching. But denominational churches simply do not. They practice things like infant baptism. They wear flattering titles like father and reverend, etc. And once again, we don't have enough room on the screen to look at all of the various practices that denominational churches do, that they're involved in, that's not a part of the doctrine of Christ. I'd like to stand before you tonight and say that all churches, all denominations, all of these various places where people believe that they're following Jesus, that they're all on the right path, that they're following Jesus. But here's the truth. The moment you stop abiding in the doctrine of Christ, you stop following Jesus. There's only one path, and we have to stay on that path. There are many passages that talk about the idea of titles that we don't have time to look at here tonight. And then a third thing, following Jesus implies following a course of righteousness. Jesus, we all know, was without sin. He was morally perfect, impeccably pure. He never sinned all the days of his life. It is an amazing fact. In word, thought, or deed, he never transgressed any law that God has set forth. He was absolutely perfect. Can we be perfect? No. It's too late for us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we can try, can't we? And being a disciple of Christ, remember, to follow Jesus means to be on the same path as Jesus. It's to be a companion with Him in life. And that means that if we're really disciples of Christ, we'll do our very best to follow in His steps, to live a righteous, upright life. And that's the only way, by the way, that you can maintain a relationship with God. One more passage over in 1 John, you know it well, 1 John chapter 1. Listen at this, and then we'll close. 1 John chapter 1. And John is writing this because there were those who thought they could live any way they wanted to and continue to have fellowship with God. We have pointed out over the years that these individuals probably, if they weren't Gnostics, they at least were beginning. The seeds of Gnosticism had been planted in the first century. And a part of Gnosticism is to teach that it really doesn't matter how you live your life. All matter is sinful anyway, and flesh is matter, so it really doesn't matter how you live as long as your spirit's right. What did that lead to? That lead to individuals thinking that they could live any way they want to and be okay. That sound familiar to you? Most of the religious world believes that. Most people in the world who care anything about Jesus and even strive to show that they care about the Bible even a little bit want to do what they think is right. And most of them think that, well, that just means I have to believe in Jesus and nothing else really matters. And so I can do this and live this kind of way and be involved in this lifestyle and everything's okay because I believe in Jesus. So I'm right. And so this has always been a problem with man. The truth is this. You can't live any way you want to and still be on the way to heaven. You have to live according to the doctrine of Christ. Yes, that involves the idea of abiding in the teachings of Christ and making sure that we're only teaching what Christ taught. But it also has to do with living. Like when Acts 2 verse 42 said that those early Christians, that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Yes, that had to do with what the apostles taught. But it also had to do with how they lived. If you're not living right, you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Instead, you're walking down a path of unrighteousness, and that's not following Jesus. Because remember, he was sinless. He was morally perfect. And so John had to try, at least, to straighten some people out along these lines. So in 1 John chapter 1, and beginning at verse 5, he says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all." You notice that. Well, you know, if I do pretty good and live mostly an upright life, you know, I have this sin in my life, but it's just one thing. It's okay. No, with God, there is no darkness at all. You can't have sin in your life. We're not talking about just sinning, the committing an individual sin. He deals with that at the end of the chapter. We all sin. And in fact, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. That's different than practicing sin. If you're following Jesus, he didn't practice sin, did he? Obviously, he didn't because he never, ever, ever sinned, ever. So he didn't make a practice of sinning. And if you're his disciple, you'll do your very best not to practice sin either. Because God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Don't deceive yourself about how you live and your relationship with God. Yeah, there are people in the religious world today because they believe in faith only and that sort of thing. They mock the idea that how you live is important. They like, as we have said many times before, to set forth the idea that in Christ there's no rules or regulations. There's just a relationship. And oh, that might sound good. But it is full of error. There are rules and regulations in Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. It's the law of the Spirit of life. The gospel is law, and law involves rules and regulations. And if we don't follow those rules and regulations, John is saying we can have no fellowship with God. We have to abide by the rules and regulations. Does that mean we don't have a relationship with Christ? Of course it doesn't mean that. Like these denominational folks, Max Lucado and others, think, well, you know, we used to believe in rules and regulations, but now we believe in a relationship as if those things can't all go together. But they absolutely can. The fact of the matter is, a part of having a relationship with God is abiding by the rules and regulations of the gospel of Christ. And if John isn't teaching that here in this place, it's never been taught. If you say that you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and the truth is not in you. But at verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That verse is full of glory. It's full of hope for all of us who are Christians. It's teaching us that, no, we don't have to be perfect. We do sin from time to time. We should strive never to sin. That should be our attitude. In fact, in chapter 2, if we were to continue there, at verse 1, John says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you. Writing what? These things about fellowship with God. I'm writing these things unto you so that you may not sin. We don't have a license to sin. John's saying, I'm writing these things unto you if you sin not. But, he says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the one who shed his blood, as John talks about in chapter 1. That if we walk in the light as he is in the light, when we sin, when we repent of our sin and we confess to God, he tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse us. We first contact that blood when we obey the gospel in the waters of baptism, but it works in our lives continuously as long as when we sin, we repent and confess to God the power of the blood of Christ. And it allows us to maintain our fellowship with God. But there's one thing that can put that fellowship to an end. And that's us making up in our mind we're just going to live whatever, however we want to, and walk in darkness and think everything's going to be all right. It's not. You want to follow Jesus? If you're a companion of Christ, walking with him on the same course that he was on, following his same path, you'll be living righteously. That's a part of following Christ. It's a prerequisite of being his disciple. You shouldn't brag. Well, I'm doing that. There's no brag. You can't brag about that. It's a necessity. All of these things, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. There's no bragging point in any of that. It's what God requires. It's the very least you have to do in order to be a true disciple of Christ. God has given us the power to do it. He has given us His Word. We have prayer. We have one another. We have everything we need to fulfill these prerequisites. But we have to do it, or else we're not really disciples of Christ. Can you say that these three prerequisites are a part of your life? I hope that you can. If not, I hope you do something about it. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel so that you can start living for Jesus. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that this very night. If you're a child of God and you have been practicing sin, well, change that. Do it tonight. Make up in your mind that you're going to stop. That's what repentance is all about. Having a change of heart towards sin and towards God. And do something about it. You ask God for forgiveness if you have sinned publicly. Come forward tonight. You can do that right now here in just a minute. We'll pray for you and encourage you. You can be right back on the right path, following Jesus on the highway to heaven. But you have to do the right thing. We hope that you will. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.